So kiddos are dismissed for children's church. If they want to go to children's church, or they're welcome to stay in the sanctuary. As much as we forget sometimes that the church is not a religious institution, it's family. So this is the family room, and I don't know what the family room is like at your place, but at our place, kids are welcome in the family room. So that's a good thing. And old folks are too, like me, which is cool. And just to say, I haven't said it in a while. I mean, there's grace. I mean, if you need to get up and grab a donut, you know, it's okay. If you need to stretch your legs, you know, that's all right too. This is family. This is family. There's abundant grace here today. I'd like for you to turn this morning to the book of Titus in your Bibles, near the end of the New Testament, Titus chapter 2. Old guys, this is your day. Young dads too. But in Titus chapter 2 today, we're going to hear a little more focused on the older guys. But it's for all of us. It's for men. There's principles here for all believers that we can learn here in the Word of God. You know, even when I read passages that are directed specifically talking about women in the body of Christ, I think, okay, well, I have women in my life. I need to understand this. I need to take this in and be able to share this. And so it is good. So I just want to encourage ladies, don't you check out just because this is addressing the men of the congregation. So I've titled the sermon today, Mature Men of God, or Senior Saints. Mature Men of God could apply to women in some of this as well. You know, the Christian life probably for all of us feels like a bit of a journey. And anytime you go on a journey, you need some provisions for that journey, and God has given us provision. I am so grateful for the Word of God, that God has given me His Word for the journey. Early on, I mean, even before I surrendered to Christ, to His will and His way, I was reading the Word of God, and just He was blessing me through His Word before I even knew I was being changed by it and drawn to Him by the Word of God. And I'm so grateful forever for the Word of God. It's just such a wonderful provision. We also have the Holy Spirit, a wonderful provision that God gives us. You know, my weakness to me is pretty apparent, and I'm just amazed at how the Holy Spirit manifests the power of God and the wisdom of God in a weak person like me sometimes in my life. And so I'm so grateful for the presence of the Holy Spirit. God has provided also His people. You know, we have brothers and sisters and in the faith, even mothers and fathers in the faith, and that is a wonderful provision for this walk of life, this journey that we're on. And we need these things. We need all these things that God has provided. So before we get to our main text here in Titus 2, I want to share with you briefly from 1 Corinthians 4. God's Word says, I do not write these things to shame you. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He says, but to admonish you as my beloved children. So Paul's saying, I look at you as my children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, Paul writes, be imitators of me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. And he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. So Paul's saying that through the gospel, God has done a work here, that you're not only connected with the Heavenly Father now, but you're connected, Paul says, with me. We're family. We're family because of the gospel, and this is part of God's good plan. And Paul says, therefore, in this relationship and the different roles that we have, I've become like a father to you. And so he says, I want you to look at my life and to imitate me. When I read that, I'm very intimidated by that, because I understand, okay, that's not just for the Apostle Paul. And certainly he was an exceptional man of God, but that's for all believers, that as saints walk and spend time having the fruit of the Spirit growing, a harvest of the fruit of the Spirit in them, and they grow in love and in grace and mercy and in goodness and holiness, and as we grow in these things, that Younger believers should be able to look at the older believers and see Christ-likeness growing over the years, and to be able to say, there's something, even though they're imperfect, even though I want to be like Christ, I see some examples of Christ in this person. And so it's part of God's plan to have that. In chapter 11 there in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. So Paul says, listen, my mindset is fixed on Christ. My heart is fixed on Christ. My life is Christ-filled and Christ-focused. And because of that, you can imitate me. You can imitate me. He says, now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions just as I handed them down to you. So Paul's saying these teachings of the apostles, the gospel message, you cling to these. And he doesn't say imitate Christ, and of course that's the goal. But he's saying you can follow my example. You can look to me. And you know, when I read that, I think about, wow, what a great blessing for the believers, for these younger believers. And there's times, because I can be a knucklehead, there's times I still think I'm pretty young, foolishly. And I think, man, I have still a few guys who are older than me in my life who are more mature in Christ than me that I can look to. But many of those guys have passed on that I have looked to as a father in the faith. And I wish that I had them with me still, many of these men that have passed on. I wish that they were here with me. But I accept joyfully that I'm becoming a senior saint. You know, I'm becoming, and some of you are there, or aren't, you know, we're all on our way, if the Lord tarries, right, to becoming a senior saint eventually. And that's part of God's good plan. And it's a good thing. It's something for us to be excited about as we grow to be more mature men and women of God, that this is something to embrace. It's part of God's goodness and provision for us. You know, as I prepared for the message today, I thought, man, this is... I think we need this more than we know. I think we need to acknowledge the goodness in God's plan of the senior saints among us more than we realize, because we live in a culture that unfortunately is youth-obsessed, really. And not just us. I think much of North America, most of Europe, for a generation or two now, is really, and maybe longer, is obsessed with youth. And unfortunately, it's even in the church sometimes that we think, well, it's nice to have... I'm glad grandma comes and hangs, you know. And we kind of are dismissive of the older people sometimes. We don't give them the attention that we should. I know it's a little self-serving for me to say that with the gray that I have. But it's true. You know, I'm grateful for the example, and I know they get it twisted sometimes with other beliefs, but like in the Middle East, or not, well, the Far East, there's a reverence for older people. There's a respect for senior citizens. There's an expectation that these people have lived longer than me, and they know what's up. You know, they've got some wisdom I don't have. They've learned some things, some lessons that I need to have. And so aging is celebrated in the Orient. I mean, people see this as a great thing, and it is. It is. It's part of God's plan and provision. So... I just want to give a little context for what we're going to see today in Titus. This is written around 64 AD, and Titus is on the island of Crete. That's where his ministry field is. There's a lot of new churches there. And so Paul intentionally has Titus there to do some things to help these church plants get established. And he says, I want you to find men who are doing good, who are faithful to the gospel. I want you to find men and appoint them as elders in the church, as leaders. But he says, I want you to be intentional to select these older men who are going to be faithful in leading the church. He says, I want you to rebuke those who aren't doing good in the church there in chapter 1. And in chapter 3, there's only three chapters in Titus, Paul speaks about some general things that need to be taught. He says, I want the believers to be reminded to have humility, to be devoted to living out the gospel by doing good in the community. I want the congregation to have unity in Christ. that these are important things for a healthy church. But chapter 2, our focus today, Paul is speaking more to some specific groups, and one of these groups are the senior saints. The people in Crete at that time were known for being very worldly. They were steeped in Greek mythology and pagan beliefs and practices, and so it was very important that they had some godly elderly people in the church to set a good example for the younger believers. And so here in chapter 2, Paul's instructing, and I think intentionally, first regarding the senior citizens, the senior saints among them. So verse 1 here, Paul addresses Titus as the pastor, and he says, you must say the things that are consistent with sound teaching. You need to proclaim the truth. First of all, Titus, start with yourself. You need to be teaching sound doctrine, sound teaching. You know, and as I read that, my anticipation when I'm thinking about doctrine and theology is, okay, now Paul's going to head into some really deep matters of the faith. He's concerned with doctrine and theology. He's going to talk about maybe the knowledge of God, the theology of God regarding the Holy Spirit or regarding the end times or regarding the nature of the church or how to interpret the Bible correctly or these things. But that's not what he does at all. As good as those things are, Paul doesn't dive into religious concepts for Titus to teach. He goes into this idea of practical living. I think this is deliberate. And he starts with the senior saints because they're very important. So starting in verse 2, Paul writes, older men are to be level-headed, worthy of respect, sensible, and sound in faith, love, and endurance. In the same way, older women are to be reverent in their behavior, not slanderers, not addicted to much wine. They're to teach what is good so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. So to be self-controlled and pure, homemakers, kind, submissive to their husbands so that God's message will not be slandered. So Paul starts out with this important group in the body of Christ, the mature men and women, these older men and women, and he says, I want them to have lives that are saturated with the goodness of God, that they need to have a Christ-like character, that it is important so that people don't malign the gospel. If these other people in the culture and even the younger people in the church don't see this in the senior saints, it's going to be a problem. People are going to disparage the gospel message. So for the sake of the gospel, that the message won't be slandered, this is the expectation for the mature men and women of God. So who's Paul talking about? Well, he doesn't give us an age group here. But the word in the Greek, presbytos, that he's using, it literally means the old guys. And this, you know, this eventually, for younger guys too, of course, we want to grow into this, but he's talking to the older men. And the first thing that Paul writes to him, he says, mature men of God are to be level-headed. Mature men of God are to be level-headed. Some of your translations in English say temperate. And the reason is that the word in the Greek is napho, and it literally means sober. Mature men of God need to not be drunk. They need to be sober. And while that's literally true, Paul's talking about a bigger idea here. He's saying, listen, the mature men, the older guys, they need to be clear-minded. They need to not be under the influence of anything that's negative. Whether it's alcohol, whether it's chasing after the things the culture chases after, whether it's their own sin nature, whether it's lies of the enemy, no matter what it is, they need to have clear biblical thinking. They need to be men who set a good example in being level-headed. And that has an effect on the younger people, that they see that example. They see that example, and they don't have those negative influences. Older guys, I'll just ask you, would you say that when you were a young guy that you let the thinking of the world kind of influence you more in how you process things than you do today? I'm hoping we're getting a little wiser biblically as we get older. You know, the Word of God is getting real for us. We see the truth and the wisdom of the Word of God. And so God wants the older men to live out a level-headedness, that we're not contaminated in our thinking with the things of the world. A couple other places in Scripture, and maybe this will help us to understand what Paul's saying here today, where the same word napho is used, of level-headedness or soberness. In 1 Thessalonians 5:6, Paul's writing about the coming day of the Lord, and he says, listen, guys, you need to be watchful. You need to be clear in your thinking, because the day of the Lord coming, that you would stay alert and be ready for this. Starting in verse 4 there, Paul writes, you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like others. Stay alert and be sober. Be clear-headed. Stay clear, focused on God. Peter uses the same word in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded. Be napho. Be level-headed. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around. It's like you need to stay alert. Guys, you need to stay alert. There are traps out there that the enemy's setting for you. Be clear in your thinking. Peter even connects this with prayer, saying that this is a motivation, men, for staying level-headed in your thinking. He says that in 1 Peter 4:7, that the end of all things is near, so you need to be temperate, be level-headed, be alert, so that you can pray. So that you can pray correctly in accordance with the will of God. And as I thought about this, and I thought, what's the application in the church? What's this look like? And why is it so important for the older men to be this? Why does it matter so much? You know, when I was young in the faith, there was plenty of times that I let my carnal thinking influence me more so and didn't even realize it. And you know, God judges sin. We tend to try to justify sin, and I tried to do that. I think when we're young in the faith, we try to compromise sometimes and justify our sin instead of repenting. But I think of times that an older saint came alongside, saw something in my life that was dangerous to me, where I was going to do something foolish, and they saw that. And basically, not literally, but basically said, son, you need to give me the keys for a minute. Let me drive, because you were heading into the ditch. You're about to do something really stupid in your marriage. You're about to do something really dumb in your walk here. The mature men that are level-headed are the designated drivers of the church. We're supposed to be the ones that can see when somebody's kind of wobbly in their walk. And like, we need to have a conversation. You need to, I've got a little clear thinking on this, because I did that stupid thing and I ended up in the ditch. And you don't want to do that. And that's the mature men in the church. That's who we are. And the younger believers need to trust that and to look to the senior saints. And to think, yeah, maybe you've got a little experience and wisdom here and you're a little more level-headed than I am. A little more sober in your outlook. A second thing for us to see in the text today, mature men of God are to be worthy of respect. The mature men of God are to be worthy of respect. The Greek word here is sumnos. It means weighty, having substance as far as goodness, that there is to be a dignity in the life of the mature men that's palpable, that's weighty. It means that the mature men in the church are not to be spending their lives on trivial things that they did when they were younger and didn't know any better. That the things of God, the main things, are the main things. And that we walk out this life that's worthy of respect, that has some dignity. And we don't have to go around declaring that, like, hey, look how dignified my life is, you know. But it's noticeable over time that other believers that are not as mature in the faith see this and like, wow, There's some weightiness in the goodness of God in their life. I want to be around that. I want to experience that. I want to see that. I want to pay attention to that. You know, I think of times that Kim and I got to spend with some senior saints early in our marriage, and just the goodness of that. And we didn't even necessarily know, like, hey, would you be our disciples? Would you mentor us? Or we just hung out with them, you know? And it would just rub off this goodness of God, this dignity that they had. And it would impact us. And when somebody's around you that is worthy of respect, it's easy to pay attention. And so for the senior saints to have the impact that they need to have, and for when they speak to the younger believers, for them to be listened to, they're to have this worthiness of respect, this dignity in their life. Not spending their life on foolish things, not going around just spending their conversational time on trivial things that don't matter, but of the things of God. A third thing to see in the text here today, mature men of God are to be sensible. Mature men of God are to be sensible. Some of your translations say self-controlled. The Greek word here, sophon, it's made up of two words, one meaning safety and the other meaning the things inside you that control your life. And what Paul's saying is that the mature men need to have implanted in them the Word of God in such a way that they are living a sensible life. They're not doing things that are unsafe spiritually in their life, that they have a biblical mindset and a biblical heart set in them that's governing the decision making. They're sensible. Now, I think of the senior saints that have impacted my life and how it was conspicuous that they were not conforming to the pattern of the world, that they were different, that they their minds, the way they thought, was different than those who didn't know Christ, and it impacted how they lived. It impacted what they spoke. It impacted how they felt. It impacted everything for them. You know, the mature believers spending years and years immersed in the Word of God so that their thinking is changed. It's renewed. It's different. Mature men and women of God are to be sound in faith and in love and endurance, Paul writes. Sound in faith and love and endurance. So a moment of honesty as we speak about the mature saints and what we are to be, we fall short. You know, James writes that we stumble in many ways, even the senior folks, that we fall short of this. And sometimes part of it's our aging. You know, the physical faculties diminish over time. The mental faculties diminish over time. It's not easy. You know, the reality is we have physical bodies with aches and pains, and we have struggles. We have struggles sometimes. And so part of God's goodness is that even as we wrestle more with the diminishing of our physical capabilities, that are spiritually and emotionally, we're to be getting stronger in Christ. That the fruit of the Spirit is ripening within us, that there's a harvest of the presence of God in our lives and the Word of God playing out in our lives, and this fruit grows. And I love seeing God with His hand upon younger people, and some have in Christ have some wonderful wisdom sometimes, but there is a sense in which the things of God and Christ-like character, it takes time to grow. Some of those things really do take time to grow as we yield to God over the years. Mature men of God are to be sound in faith. This is one of the things that ripen and become stronger in our life. Mature men of God are to be sound in faith. And I can definitely testify that this is something that not only didn't I have, I didn't even understand as a young believer, not really. As a young Christian, I really thought, you know, I can study hard enough to have all the answers. I really believe that. I mean, I would probably argue with somebody and think I could prove it to them. That if I just use the God-given intellect I have and look at the Word of God and look at things, I can know everything. You know, I've got the answer. But the reality is that there's times where we don't know the answer, but we always know that God is good and He is wise, and that trusting in Him, you can't go wrong. And there's so many situations that we run into in life and you're like, God, I don't understand the situation. I don't know what the way forward is. I don't understand why this is happening. I'm trying to understand, but I don't. But I know that I can trust You in this. And that's to continually grow as we get older, that even though we don't have all the answers, that we know that God doesn't need my opinion. And if I need to know the answer, He'll tell me the answer. I just need to trust Him because He's worthy of my trust. I just need to grow in faith. I just need to know that He's an awesome God and that His plans are perfect and that He's working in everything in life for my good, for the good of those who are called according to His purposes, who love Him. He is such a good God. He is so worthy of our faith. The fifth thing we see in the text, mature men of God are to be sound in love. Mature men of God are to be sound or to be healthy, we might say, in love. Paul's saying, listen, if there's anybody among you who should be able to love everybody that God brings, it should be the mature men and women of God. It should be the senior saints. And I see this. I see this in the mature believers that I know. I see this in the senior saints I know, able to extend kindness and gentleness to people that maybe they wouldn't have when they were younger. But they grow in the fruit of the Spirit. I know that's not universal. I've also been around some cranky old folks who aren't very loving. But I think a lot of times, you know, it's folks who aren't believers many times over. Or if they are, you know, sometimes just the aches and pains get to us. We have bad days too when our flesh gets in the way and we repent. We ask for God's forgiveness and receive His love for us. The sixth and final thing for us to see here in the text today, mature men of God are to be sound in endurance. The mature men of God are to be sound in endurance. Healthy in endurance. This healthy endurance doesn't mean that we just grit our teeth and bear with growing old. That we've got some dreary resignation, like, okay, well, it's God's will, and I'm just going to sit in my rocking chair and ride this out until I hear the trumpet and I'm out. You know, that's not at all what Paul's saying. I have a friend who's a pastor. He would say retired pastor, but I don't think pastors retire. I just don't think that's biblical. Maybe from the vocation, but you know, when you're a shepherd, you're a shepherd. But he and I meet pretty regularly, and because I glean a lot from him, because he is a senior saint to me, and he is so wise. But he's part of a church congregation, not around here, where when we talk, he said, you know, I just wish God would use me like He used to. I wish I wasn't sidelined. I wish I wasn't, you know, God used, when I was a young man, He used me in such great ways, and now I'm just filling a pew. And it about makes me cry. Because this is a great man of God who blesses me like you would not believe. I mean, it is just gold to hang out with this man. I love it. It's so, and I'm just like, he's believing a lie. If he believes that he is not an MVP in the body of Christ, he's believing a lie, because he and the other senior saints like him bring something to the family a blessing that nobody else can bring, of that lifelong experience of the faithfulness of God. And I tell him, I just say, brother, if anybody's telling you that your days of usefulness to God are past, you need to set them straight. And I'm just like, as a brother, you know, forgive my impudence here, but as a brother, you need to change that attitude, because you are a great man of God and your wife is a great woman of God, and your congregation is blessed to have you. They are so blessed to have you. And you need to know that. It's part of God's provision for that congregation. You need to head in there expectant and joyful. And know that in ways that you aren't aware of, maybe, that you're having an impact for the kingdom. And I would say that to all of, not just about him, but to all of the older men and women of God. To all of you here today that are getting the senior discount like me. You are indispensable. You are indispensable. You are diamonds in the body of Christ. You are so valued and so needed. So needed. I wish pray that we have more senior saints, and I pray for young people too. I love it when we have young people and middle-aged folks, but man, the goodness of having senior saints as part of the family, it's so beautiful. It's so healthy for the body of Christ. Never check out, please. Senior saints, never check out. You are so needed in the family. God uses you. He uses you to bless these younger folks. You're so needed. Yeah, I think sometimes, because in some ways I'm not as strong as you guys probably think I am. I so long for those men in my life that mighty men of God. I think of my dad. I think of Jim Pike. I think of Dick Smith. I think of Wendell Carmichael. I think of Herbert Hull. I think of, ever since my first day walking into a church family, I've had senior saints that have been there. I've had older men, old guys of God, who there's no way I would be here today without. They were God's provision. And I would give anything for a day with any of those men to be here. It would mean everything to me. Mature men of God, you are needed. You are valued. You're part of God's provision for the body of Christ. We are so grateful for you. Younger men, you're not off the hook. God has some expectations for you to be examples of love and purity in the faith. You're valuable too. But learn. Learn from the older people. Be encouraged. Be intentional to have relationships, to develop God-honoring relationships with older people in the body. It's part of God's provision for the younger people to have that. You know, one of the things about many of the men in my life who've been mentors to me, we never signed a contract that said, you're going to be my mentor. Most of them, we never had even a conversation that said, I'm going to look up to you. You're an example in Christ for me. We just hung out. We just did life together. And as we did life together, just like with the Apostle Paul, I saw the presence of God in them and the wisdom of God. And I was like, man, that's what I want. I want to know the Word that way. I want to love my wife that way. I want to be faithful in prayer like that man is. I want to support missions like that man does. I want to be faithful to my church as he is. And the way you do that is just doing life together. Just seeing that example. I'm going to close this in prayer. Worship team, you can come up and before older guys, before you go, and younger guys too, actually, just all of our dads, We have a gift for you this morning, and we don't want you to leave without that gift, so we have popcorn for the pops. Four different flavors, and one I think is like really not, is it hypoallergenic? I don't know. There's no gluten, so there's one, at least one of them in there that like almost anybody should be able to eat, I think, hopefully. So, but anyway, yeah, you can, we'll pass those around here in a minute, because we value you. You're part of God's plan and provision in the body too. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your incredible wisdom and goodness. Thank you, Lord, that in your wisdom and in your goodness, Lord, in your good and pleasing and perfect will, that you sent your Son to redeem us, that you give us your Spirit, that we can experience the Christian life you call us to, that we can be, because of the presence of your Spirit, God, that we can be the mature men and the younger men and the women of God that are, you call us to be, Lord. Thank you so much for your word. Oh, God, help us to stay immersed in your word. Thank you for your kingdom, Lord. Thank you for your kingdom among your people, Lord, that your will being done, the will of the King and his kingdom. Lord, thank you for placing us in family, not a religious institution, but family. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Father, that aging, becoming the older men and women of God, it is part of your purpose and plan, God, that you gift the church the older saints. And that for all of us, Lord, in the body of Christ, that we all have a purpose and meaning and value and worth, no matter who we are, from the oldest to the youngest. But Father, today we thank you for the fathers among us, the earthly fathers, Lord, but those spiritual fathers as well, those around us, Lord, that you say, even though we're imperfect, look to that older guy. See the goodness of God in his life and imitate that. Father, we do pray for those today who spiritually are orphans still, who don't really have any spiritual fathers because they've not come to Christ yet for salvation. And we pray, Lord, that you would bring them in, that you would draw unbelievers by your Spirit today, Lord, that they could be part of the family and they could know the goodness of being surrounded by family in Christ. Lord, we pray that you would do this for your glory today, and we ask in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus.